88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield here, joined live right now by McDuck of Lake Street Dive. Thank you so much for taking some time out to talk about the new album you guys have.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for your time.
The new album is called Free Yourself Up. Going to have a couple of dates here in the Southern California area, May 23rd at the Ford Theater, which is sold out. Very excited to be presenting that show. And then the next night, May 24th, at the House of Blues Anaheim. And kind of speaking of the live factor of your band, you know, that was kind of where it all began, was with live videos on YouTube, and that was kind of where a lot of fans got their first taste of the band. And it was interesting when you announced the album and sent out the first song. A lot of times you see, you know, a music video or something like that. In your case, you actually did a live version of Good Kisser when you announced the album. Is that kind of one of the reasons why you did that, was just kind of the history of the band being live and just wanting to share the first song that way?
You know, gosh, I would love to say that that was exactly our thinking, and aren't we so smart, and, you know, pat ourselves on the back. I don't know if that was actually the impetus. We had the opportunity to make that live video in the studio that we recorded, you know, 80-90% of the record, and the room had such a good vibe, and, you know, we had become so comfortable there that it seemed only logical that we would do some videotaping there for future, you know, promo purposes. But it's true. We have our bread and butter has always been, you know, the live show or a representation of the live show, whether it's, you know, filming the live thing. And we have only just with the last record felt like we have become even marginally comfortable in the studio. So, you know, I don't imagine that will change the sort of overall dynamic where we are more comfortable live. But I would imagine that you know, the trajectory of the band will hopefully be able to kind of at once encapsulate this, like, you know, at home live, but a similar and equally comfortable at home feeling with recorded music.
So you feel more comfortable now in the studio a little bit more, especially this particular one, because you did go down to Nashville to record this record?
Yeah, well, I think that we decided to self-produce the record, you know, basically only after exhausting a ton of producer ideas. You know, we originally were going to have somebody produce it because we felt the experience with Dave Cobb producing Side Pony had a lot of merit to it and a lot of successful elements to that. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, all the producers that we had sort of investigated, you know, we moved away from those ideas for a variety of reasons and were left with just ourselves. And we had this moment of panic, more or less. It was like, are we really doing this? Are we even capable of doing it? And the, you know, the turning point came with, we did a week of demos in Nashville at the studio that we recorded at with an engineer named Dan Nobler. And we came out the backside of that week of demos full of confidence and full of excitement about being kind of solo in the studio. Obviously, Dan was integral to that process because it was his studio, and he was, you know, he engineered and did a lot of, he was very hands-on in terms of helping us achieve our ideas. But I don't think that we thought we were going to go to the biggest, fanciest studio that America had to offer, and we kept going back to Dan's converted garage because that's where we felt comfortable. That's where we sort of found our sea legs, as it were. I think it would have been a very, very different product if we hadn't had that original week of demos.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, that I guess that makes sense on you know, for me, because I think of where, again, going back to where you started, you know, it was fairly unconventional for a lot of bands, because a lot of bands, you know, they cut their teeth, you know, maybe, you know, in a rehearsal space, and you guys were very public, and you guys were about being out on the street and doing more, you know, very, very early on, busking style. And so to an extent, you know, it was where you felt comfortable, and, you know, it sounds like more like, hey, this is the place. This is the place where we feel comfortable that we're going to do our best songwriting and best recording and, you know, and even, you know, to maybe even beyond that, ideation for where you want it to go with this album.
Totally. And the small, intimate setting that the recording studio represented to us was a very familiar one in the sense too that we really came up in you know, our live show was honed in those early years in the smallest, sort of dingiest bars we could find, because those were the only bars that would have us, because, you know, they were basically paying us in beer tickets.
This time around, you went into the studio and you added on another member to help you out, Aki, who was on the keys. Why did you guys want to bring in a new instrument where you added on more of a different element to the band for this?
Well, the impetus came from sort of our second year of touring Side Pony. You know, an album cycle is roughly 2 years long, and in our second year of touring, you know, there is the inevitable fatigue and, you know, the desire to do more with the music than you did for the previous 12 months. And someone was, you know, we were brainstorming, throwing out ideas, and someone said, how about let's bring out a piano player? And that idea wasn't completely out of left field, because we love the sound of organ and Wurlitzer and 80s synthesizers and keyed instruments of you know, several varieties. And so in the past, when we recorded just the four of us, there would inevitably be the moment where, you know, we'd be working on producing a song and someone would say, God, you know what, I just want to hear organ, or I just want to hear some Rhodes, subtle Rhodes in the background.
Especially when you have kind of that soul factor with you guys. You think of guys like Booker T, and it was like, well, where's, you know, there's keys in all those classic soul records.
Well, absolutely, and there's a lot of areas for experimentation with those kinds of instruments too, when you think about like using the Leslie speaker on the organ the way that the Beatles did and you know, things of that nature. So we've always had keys on our records, but they were always almost exclusively played by one of us, and we're not piano players. That's just not where we're just not capable of executing the kind of ideas that I think we had and we would have really preferred to have heard. And so when we when the original idea to bring a piano player out on the road for the second half of Side Pony tour, you know, it was welcomed with universal, you know, huzzas. And we then had a very short list of people that we knew that we thought could not only, you know, play the parts. I mean, they're not super complicated parts. It's pop music, but you know, there was a short list of people that we knew could pull it off musically, but could also hang personally, because that's a huge part of what goes into playing on, you know, playing in a band and touring. You have to not hate each other, and because you're basically living in a studio apartment on wheels with bunks,
and you wanted both. It sounds like you wanted someone, you know, who's going to be both for the studio. Well, at this point, it was obviously the road because you were touring Side Pony, but then eventually, you know what, we want him to be in the studio too.
And well, because the chemistry was there, mm-hmm. and we felt so confident in what Aki brought to the performance, because it, you know, he wasn't just learning the parts that we had all tried to play off the record. He was contributing his own ideas, and he was singing like an angel. I mean, his voice is incredible, and so it you know, not to drive home the free yourself up point here, but it allowed, especially me on guitar, and I think also everyone else in the band, it allowed us all to play differently, kind of assume different roles and try different things out, because all of a sudden I didn't have to play rhythm guitar and everything just to define the chords, or Bridget could, you know, do something else because Aki had a left hand figure going on, or, you know, and you know, now all of a sudden there's instrumental counterpoint going on that didn't exist before. And so when it came time to record this record, he had already been learning the music as we had been kind of talking through it as we were writing on the road before the sessions, and it was just kind of a given. It was a natural, like, if we're going to work, you know, if we're going to continue to operate at this level, at this high musical level that we find ourselves working with, then he has to be there. He has to come with us. And he was invaluable in the studio, not just because of his piano playing, but because of the, you know, just the excellent sort of personal vibe that he brings to the table. It couldn't be a more perfect fit.
Yeah, and I feel like there's the last two records to me really feel like there was a certain exploration that you guys went on. Like with Side Pony, it was one kind of exploration where you really went with some produced more pop sounds. And then this one, it was almost like every song was kind of exploring a different place you could go and how you could expand as a band and, you know, what you played, you know, whether it was a, one song that had a little more rock lean to it than you maybe have done before, one that was a little more, you know, more of a subdued feel than you've done before. So was there kind of like a, it's almost like, you know, he added on to that exploration factor of what you were doing to quite almost literally free yourself up.
Absolutely. And I think that in the end, the, you know, we did have a very valuable experience with Dave Cobb, but I think that also the decision to self-produce, came out of this idea where no one knows what a band is truly capable of except for the people in the band. And, because we are, you know, if I may, we are somewhat musically, you know, we have like sort of a chameleon element to us. You know, we are not going for one specific sound, but we have a lot of really definitive, sort of obvious influences. You know, the soul thing, the British Invasion thing, the, you know, the whatever 60s AM radio pop kind of thing. And so when we have worked with people in the past, there's always an element of them saying, okay, well, I've listened to your previous output. Here's what I think you're capable of. And sometimes that's dead on. And sometimes it leaves, you know, sometimes it leaves some things on the cutting room floor. And because we were answerable only to ourselves and each other, we could say, okay, yes, we can play this song like a Motown band. We are capable of that. We have done that before. But is it appropriate this time? Do we want to do it again? And the answer wasn't always yes. Sometimes the answer was, you know what, guys? I really have dug on this Kendrick Lamar record. Or I have really, you know, I've gone back into the George Michael. I've gone into Wham. You know, I've gotten like super into this Wham record. And it's like, okay, that's kind of, that's not what we do. But we can do it. And let's try. And even if it's not exactly, you know, even if those influences aren't exactly sort of immediately identifiable in the final product, those influences are coming out somewhere that, and they may not have been explored when someone else was producing. So I think that not just the sort of freedom that Aki brought, but the freedom of being answerable only to ourselves was very, very important to this process.
Yeah, that is something that, you know, you talk to, you know, a lot of times when I do interviews like this, I start talking to bands, and one of the things is asking about the producer, and a lot of times it's like, yeah, someone really felt like they needed a particular sound or felt like they were connecting with someone, but in this case, it seems like you guys had an idea where you wanted to go, because I was listening through the record, and one point it was I Can Change, which then went into Dude, and was like, well, I Can Change is more of a subdued, like, I don't know if I would have heard that particular song in that way from you before. And then Dude just had this really big rock element that, you know, kind of was a little different again from what I've expected of the band over the years. And it's about expanding and growing as a band, where you can try some new things out and still be who you are, but still have add in elements that makes it exciting again and makes it interesting, not only for the listener, but for you yourselves as you go out on the road and start playing these songs.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, in order to continue to be interesting to the fans, we have to remain interesting to ourselves. And when we are playing a style because we think that is what we are supposed to be playing, that is no longer interesting. But if we open ourselves up to the universe of recorded music and all the possibilities therein, whether it is just sort of like a guitar and a voice, you know, like a folk song, like I Can Change, that's on the table. And then there's the sort of like psych rock jam out, you know, distorted clav, like, you know, kind of Afrofuturism, you know, whatever it is, if it's there, then it's a possibility. And that is so exciting. And that excitement, hopefully, then translates to the fans.
Well, speaking right now live with McDuck of Lake Street Dive, So you're a multi-instrumentalist, guitarist, you play the trumpet, you're a songwriter, so one of those people who does a lot for the band. So I just wanted to thank you for taking some time out today to talk about the new record, Free Yourself Up.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for your time.
All right, and just a reminder, they're going to be playing at the Ford Theater on May 23rd. That show is sold out, but there are tickets available for House of Blues Anaheim on May 24th. It's 88.5 FM.